This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight. We've got three absolutely tremendous hours coming up for you. All 30 teams are in action on this Tuesday, and you know what? We actually have a day game on this Tuesday. Thank goodness gracious. So we're going to be able to break all that down, as that one in the day game will actually be out there in the lovely country of Canada. So thank you, Canada, for that. And thank you to the fact that we've got a pair of great guests on the show tonight. No shortage of things to talk about. NBA free agency, it is getting all heated up. We've already seen some moves, and we've got ourselves some interesting conundrums, to say the least, with regards to these teams. We've got a pair of great guests that are going to be joining me tonight, as Robin Lundberg. He does a great job with the Robin Lundberg Show. He does some work over at SiriusXM. He's on the Robin Lundberg Show when it comes to YouTube TV as well. He's going to be joining me, and we're going to be talking a little basketball with him, what you've been seeing here in the NBA offseason. He does a great job with the WNBA as well, so talking all things round ball with him in about 30 minutes. And then in a little bit over an hour, Jared Bailey. He does great work over at Sporting News, and he also does a great job with the Believe in Steelers show / podcast. Need to be talking about what happened with the Pittsburgh Steelers here on this Monday, as they made a few moves, and it'll be a very, very fascinating look to that defense, to say the least, as they trade away Minkah Fitzpatrick. We shall see what's going to be happening on that front, and so much more. So we've got a lot to be able to decipher. And how about if we do start there with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because they were very notable in the moves that they made on Monday with the Steelers team. It's a team that I've yet to preview with regards to Greg's Random Football Roulette, which is night six, by the way, that has been sweeping the nation. I'm going to be breaking down two teams, one in hour number two, hour number three as well. I pick a team by random, and I give you my thoughts on them for the upcoming season. You have yet to be able to get my thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I aim for the Dolphins. They send Jalen Ramsey on over to the Steelers for Minkah Fitzpatrick, and a very, very interesting ordeal here, to say the least, says for Minkah Fitzpatrick. As we know, he was traded from the Steelers way back in the day, and now it's sort of a welcome back Potters, or he was traded from the Miami Dolphins back in the day. Welcome back Potter situation for him going back to Miami after he spent so long with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I was always a relatively solid player. It's going to be interesting to see how these two guys adapt to their surroundings, and Jalen Ramsey certainly has had his highs and his lows with regards to this game in general. But I mean, for the Steelers, apparently they might not be done. Apparently they're mulling over trade options with TJ Watt as well, so we're going to be seeing what's happening with this Pittsburgh Steelers team moving forward, and they just continue to be, in my opinion, one of the biggest mysteries in all of football, because we did see Aaron Rodgers play a little bit better towards back half of the season last year with the New York Jets, and I know that there was just the offseason in general, like, man, that was less than savory when you're reporting in the late spring, early summer months. You're behind the eight ball a little bit as well, so I think that there's a lot to be able to decipher on that front end. When it comes to this Pittsburgh Steelers team, the way that they're going to be able to surround Aaron Rodgers with a few weapons on the outside, bringing in some wide receivers, I think that that's pretty solid. They've always had a pretty consistent ground game as well, but for this Pittsburgh Steelers defense, all of a sudden it does look a little bit different, and for the Steelers, their win total has been hovering right around 8.5, which is very fitting, because with Mike Tomlin, he has never had a losing season in his career. He has gotten the team to 500 or better in every single campaign. I just fear that this might be the year. And it's not even just because of Pittsburgh Steelers, because I know that a lot of people are going to take a look at Aaron Rodgers and think, well, this is an upgrade from what you had in Russell Wilson along with Mr. Fields last season, but when you bring the circus to town, and Mike Tomlin did an amazing job with the Antonio Brown situation. How we know he did an amazing job with the Antonio Brown situation is, look what happened when Antonio Brown played for everyone not named the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's how amazing of a job that he was able to do. And if you check out his Twitter / X feed, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But yeah, with this just team in general, I'm very fascinated to see what is going to be happening, because that just schedule in general sets up to be a gauntlet when you have to play against the Bengals twice. Now, the good news is you get to play against the Cleveland Browns twice, and if they don't sweep the Cleveland Browns this year, then things have went horribly, horribly wrong. But also playing against the Baltimore Ravens as well, that makes things a little bit difficult. They're on to win the Super Bowl right now at 35-1, and I'm just not feeling it with this Pittsburgh Steelers team. I just don't know if you can win with that aged of a quarterback coming off of a major surgery, by the way, a few seasons ago as well. So that has me feeling a little bit out on them. For this Pittsburgh Steelers team, going to be very interesting to see how they look. And I mean, what's going under the radar as well? How about the Miami Dolphins and what sort of shape they're in as well? Because it feels like they've sort of been swept under the rug here in the offseason. And I mean, for the Miami Dolphins, they've got so many unanswered questions as well. And the biggest question is one that will not be answered until the season really gets started. Can Tua Tagovailoa be able to make it through 16/17 games? Like, if he's able to give you 15+, I feel like you're doing relatively well. They had to start Tyler Huntley, who I thought was a relatively solid backup quarterback option going into last year. Now they've got Zach Wilson, which Zach Wilson tried to, for lack of a better term, rehabilitate his career last season. He didn't play for the Denver Broncos, but he was a part of that Broncos system. He was able to learn under one of the best in the business and Sean Payton. So I think that this is going to be a very interesting sort of 1-2 punch for them. How many games is Zach Wilson going to be playing? Going to actually be Quinn Ewers when it's all said and done as well. So you've got a lot that's going on with a Miami Dolphins team that, I mean, the Buffalo Bills are brutal. No question about it. The other two teams in that division, the Jets and the Patriots, there are games to be won there. And for the Miami Dolphins, this has been a defense that, fair to say, has been very hit or miss over the last few seasons. And when it comes to this Miami Dolphins team, I'm not saying that this guy is by any means like an MVP or anything like that, but when Tua Tagovailoa is on the field versus off the field, I felt like it was one of the biggest drop-offs in the NFL just because the entire offense is really geared towards Tua Tagovailoa. You don't have him out there on the field, then things really just diminish for this team. As it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Epps-Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And now is a valuable time to let you know that as I'm talking about football and what we've all got, the NFL betting guide is coming out tomorrow. It's coming out in less than 24 hours. You are getting everything in this NFL betting guide as you're able to get previews on all 32 NFL teams. You've got projected playoff, shall we say, results, as I've got my entire 14-team playoff picture in there, and you get that from so many of the VSiN show hosts here. You also get best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, betting projections, so much more. Kick off your season with confidence. Get full access to everything that we do here at VSiN, every single betting guide, all the daily best bets, emails every single day, exclusive content all the way through the Super Bowl. And it's not just football. You get it for baseball. You get it for college basketball. You get it for the start of the NBA, NHL seasons, and so much more. Everything that we do here at the network through the Super Bowl for $175. Your smartest NFL season is right here at VSiN, VSiN.com/subscribe. As it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And certainly we're going to be talking a little bit more basketball in about 20 to 25 minutes, but I mean, you've got a lot of moves that are going down, and I mean, we're talking about free agency, what have you. The biggest thing is with regards to Denver Nuggets trading away Michael Porter Jr. They're going to be getting back in return Cam Johnson, and there was also a unprotected 30-32 first round pick that went to the Nets as well. But I do think that this is a really nice shot in the arm for the Denver Nuggets. It's a team that I've hyped up on this network ever since the Super Bowl wrapped up, as if there was one team, not named the Thunder, that I would bet on right now to be able to win the NBA title, it was the Denver Nuggets. They've been hovering right around about 15-16-1 all throughout the offseason here. And I just feel like when you've got a guy, Nikola Jokic, who I feel like is the best player on the face of planet Earth, like you can debate who might be number two, number three, what have you. I'm going with Nikola Jokic. Number one, though, I think that that provides good bang for your buck. And additionally, with the Nuggets, this really didn't move them too much, because Michael Porter, I mean, obviously he was able to provide some value for the Denver Nuggets, but is it just me, or did it feel like he was very inconsistent over the last year or so? We know that he always had the early career back issues. Like, you can all go all the way back to his time at Missouri. This guy was supposed to be like a top three, top four pick. He fell all the way to like the back half of the lottery as a result of those injuries. But I do think that Cameron Johnson being able to come in with some good versatility. Like, a lot of people look at the size that you've got with Porter and that solid. Cam Johnson is a guy that's 6'8" and really has been able to ascend over the last few years, albeit it was on a Nets team where opportunity was very much abound for them, but a career north of 39% three-point shooter. I do think that for the Denver Nuggets, this was a really good move for them out there in the West, where, again, it's going to be oh so difficult. Like, you just take a look at the gauntlet of teams. Obviously, the Thunder, they are going to be the team to beat out there. And then you've got the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, by the way, a lot of people are going to forget this, but for the Denver Nuggets, they finished with a better record than the Timberwolves during the regular season. So they were able to prove a little bit of something there. The Warriors are still the Warriors. You've got so many teams that you're going to be jockeying with. The Dallas Mavericks obviously drafting Cooper Flagg. We shall see what's going to be happening on that front as well. You've got the Lakers, and are they going to be signing DeAndre Ayton or not? That's a big question mark. You've got just so many things to take a look at. The Spurs, the LA Clippers as well. So, I mean, it's a gauntlet out there out west, but I mean, give me the best player out there on the face of planet with Jokic, and I think that this is just going to be overall a good fit for the Denver Nuggets. I really like what they did here on this day, and for the Brooklyn Nets, obviously. Well, they have been rough, to say the least, over the last few years, but I mean, I will remind you that out there in the East, opportunity is certainly abound. Are they going to be a team that you want to take a futures ticket on to win the title? No, but they might be able to fall rear end backwards into being like the 9 seed, the 10 seed out there in the East. And I mean, this is a guy, Michael Porter Jr., that I do feel like there's a little bit of untapped potential there. I would like to see him be able to hit the boards a little bit more, as that was always something that bugged me. I always felt like he should be a little bit of a better rebounder than what he's been able to show throughout his entire NBA career. But still, Porter coming off of a very solid year himself. You got two guys that average about 18 points per contest for Porter. He actually had one of his better shooting years this year as well. Shot about 39.5% from three-point range. Still relatively young at 27 years old. So I do think that this is a move that could, in the long term, be able to benefit both the Denver Nuggets in terms of getting to them to where they want to be this year, and for the Nets as well, being able to get to where they want to be in the future as well. So we've got a lot that is going down there, and we've got a lot that is happening on the baseball front as well, as we have to take a look at what we've all been getting on Monday and what we've been seeing league-wide as well. We're going to do that on the flip side, right here, cashing out on Visa, the Sports Bank Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight. Certainly, we've seen a lot of hoopla over the last 24 hours in sports. We discuss what is all happening with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we'll be fleshing out a little bit more football, both in hours number two and hours number three, as Greg's random NFL roulette is going to be coming your way. Will it land on the Steelers or the Dolphins? We shall see, because those are two teams I've yet to preview, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And what else is a lot of fun is taking a look at this great game of baseball. Results are still coming in terms of the late Monday card, and you had extra innings out there with the Orioles and the Texas Rangers. And being someone that bet the Texas Rangers money line and them not being able to get the job done in the ninth inning, sort of figured that this was going to be happening, as currently they are down 6-3, bottom of the 10th inning. Orioles explode for a 3-spot in the 10th, and we shall see what is going to be happening on this front. Now, for the Texas Rangers, this team has had all sorts of difficulty being able to score runs all season long, so we shall see what is going to be happening. Oh, and there's a 3-run homer from Adolis Garcia. There we go. 6-6. It is now all tied up, as this game has turned into a calamity. If you are the under in this game, I feel for you. Like, man, this thing was a dead under throughout. Orioles were up 3-0 in this game in the third inning, and then you don't get any scoring until the sixth. You get a 2-spot in the sixth from the Texas Rangers. Another run in the seventh. Looked like the Rangers might be able to cash in the ninth inning. They're unable to do so, and Adolis Garcia has been about as cold as an igloo all season long. Just goes deep for a 3-run Jackson to tie this game up 6-6. My goodness. And right now, the Orioles, by the way, have out-hit the Texas Rangers by a count of 12-7. The Orioles have just left a lot of men on base, and they've left a lot of scoring opportunities just going to the abyss in general. And this is just how crazy this American League is right now. The Texas Rangers, who have not played great baseball, by the way, I think that even the biggest stands of the Texas Rangers would let you know, yeah, this is a team that hasn't necessarily played the world's greatest baseball. They're not out of it in terms of wild card. Like, right now, as things stand, with this game pending out there in Texas, they are 2.5 games back of the wild card. If they could come back and get the job done, that would set them 2 games back in the wild card. Like, put this into perspective. Right now, you've got the Kansas City Royals trailing by a count of 5-1 to the Seattle Mariners. It's in the sixth inning. Things are looking relatively bleak for them. They are right now the fourth worst team record-wise in the American League. And as the fourth worst team record lies in the American League, they're 4.5 games out of playoff spot. Like, there is just so much openness in the American League. It's all about whichever one of these teams is actually going to want to go for it or not. And that's something that you have to decipher. Like, I take a look at a team like the Cleveland Guardians, for example. They're right now 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. I don't think that that is going to be a team that's going to want to go for it at all. And I think that that's a team that probably you don't want to be betting on to be able to make the playoffs, just because I don't think that they're going to be willing to spend the money. A team like the Texas Rangers, though, they have shown that they're willing to spend the money. They have shown that they're going to be trading for some of these guys. And boy, do they need some bats. They also apparently need to change the ballpark conditions as well. I know that if you look at Baseball Savant, they're one of the most pitcher-friendly ballparks in all of baseball. That was not the case when they won the World Series a few seasons ago. Now, obviously, you have some guys have aged out a little bit. It's not necessarily the exact roster that you saw when they won the World Series in 2023, but it's not like it's totally different from what it was in 2023 as well. So two things can be true at the same time, but I am for the Texas Rangers team storming back against the Baltimore Orioles. And this is why the Baltimore Orioles are a team that you really can't trust. And it's why I feel like they've been overpriced all season long. Just when you think you get a good thing from the Baltimore Orioles, they pee it away. And that's what this bullpen has done all season long. Done ace Keegan Aiken, who's actually been one of the better pieces for this team. But I mean, how many times have we seen just one of these schlubs come into this game for the Baltimore Orioles and not get the job done out of the bullpen? I think that that's the best way of putting it. They just simply have not gotten the job done. They canned their manager. They should really be canning Mike Elias, because he had no idea what he was doing in the offseason with his pitching. And I mean, let's not let the offense off the hook. For the Baltimore Orioles, this has actually been your best road under team in all of baseball, because they just simply have not been able to score this year. But man, that is rough if you're a Baltimore Orioles fan. Up 3 runs going into the bottom of the 10th inning. Adolis Garcia hasn't had a broadside of a barn all season. I know that I'm probably being a little bit harsh, because he's hitting about a 230, and prior to that home run, he had 9 this season. But yeah, that's interesting to say the least. So that game is now 6-6. And then if you're taking a look at things a little bit earlier, Chase Burns got burnt. And I'm very excited about Chase Burns. I think that he's going to be a great prospect for the Cincinnati Reds. I think that he's going to be able to find himself as a pitcher. Always something that you want to know with these young guys is when they make their first of anything. In this case, it was Chase Burns' second career start, but it was first career start on the road. And I had a feeling that he was going to struggle a little bit. I didn't think that he was going to be giving up 6 runs while getting 1 out struggling, but I did sense that there might be a little bit of struggle, a little bit of strife there. Certainly that was the case, as if you took that 7.5 to 8 under, that was very, very much lost in the abyss very early in this game. 13-6, the Red Sox get the job done, and that's another team that is so fascinating as to what they're going to be doing here in the next few weeks and perhaps at the trade deadline, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We certainly need to talk about that, and we need to talk about Edge Boost, because Edge Boost is the first ever bank account that is built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved, no usage fees, no minimums, earn cashback rewards, 100% approval on all of your betting deposits. And when you sign up today over at edgeboost.bet, utilize that promo code of cash, C-A-S-H. That gives you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit up to $25. That's over at edgeboost.bet. That promo code is cash. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And I was talking about interesting teams in the NFL in the last segment. Very interesting team in baseball with the Boston Red Sox, with the way that they trade away Rafael Devers a few weeks ago. And when it comes to this Boston Red Sox unit, it's just like, man, what are they going to do moving forward? Because the young guys have not necessarily performed the way that you were hoping they would. And I mean, that just happens when you got young players getting called up to the big league level. Like, there was a guy once by the name of Mike Trout, perhaps you've heard of him. He got called up to the big league level, struggled his first time around, needed to get sent back down to the minor league levels. From there, the rest is history. Like, it happens to some of these guys. Go back last year, Jackson Holliday really struggled for the Baltimore Orioles. He needed to get sent back down to the minor league level. He resurfaces. He looks rock solid. That just sometimes happens with some of these young guys, and certainly we saw that on full display tonight. Not that Chase Burns is going to need to get sent down, and I do think that honestly it might be a little bit more of a learning curve for some of these teams, for some of these hitters in general, because I mean, you had the young gun in Chase Burns on the bump for the Cincinnati Reds. You have the young guys for the Red Sox like Roman Anthony. You've got Marcelo, guys like that. So I mean, you've got a lot of interesting faces. This was a game that I felt like was very much a melting pot between the Red Sox and the Reds, but I do think that this is just such an interesting ordeal with where the Red Sox are at. They're currently 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. You've got plenty of firepower. Can you get Alex Bregman back and healthy? That's a big giant question mark because, well, he's been out for about 30 plus games thus far, and I mean, apparently his quadricep, according to Alex Cora early in the day, was, and I air quotes here, felt great, and I mean, they're going to be reassessing him over the weekend. If you can get back Alex Bregman healthy right around about the All-Star break, if you can get a little bit more out of these young guys, do you go for it if you're the Red Sox? Because they do have, I mean, a few rock-solid pitchers that you're able to rely upon, mainly Garrett Crochet. Lucas Giolito has not been awful for this team. They've been holding down the fort with Tanner Houck on the injury list, which, recognizing Tanner Houck, is probably never going to recapture sort of the magic that you've got with him from a season ago when he was able to make the All-Star team. But you've got some guys they're able to rely upon for the Boston Red Sox, and a really good closer in Aroldis Chapman as well. Like, not being talked about enough, Aroldis Chapman has been really good at closing out games this year. Like, he still has his fastball, despite the fact that I'm pretty sure he's like 36 or something years old. So I do think that there's a little bit of bang for your buck there, but with the Red Sox, they're such an interesting team to be diving in on. And what else is very much of intrigue is this team. The San Francisco Giants, says they have been slip-sliding away in terms of the playoff race in the National League. They are currently, if the season ended today, on the outside looking in. They get swept in that series against the Miami Marlins. They lose that series to the Chicago White Sox, looking to bounce back here tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. That is currently 2-2. It's in the bottom of the seventh inning. You did have for the San Francisco Giants them fall down in this game early on. They were able to put up a two spot in the seventh inning, and I personally am sweating out the over in this game, so I would love for there to be a few more runs moving forward. Logan Webb, I always notice home and road splits, pretty solid thus far. Two runs allowed in six-plus innings. We'll see how long the Giants are able to throw them out there, but I mean, you've got a lot of teams out there in the National League as well. That just feels like the intrigue is there, and it feels like most of these teams are about a bad away. Like, you look at the San Francisco Giants, number one team in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Good starting pitching. Bats have been a little bit hit or miss. Even with now having Rafael Devers in the fold, it's been leaving something to be desired at the bottom of the fold. For the Milwaukee Brewers, despite the fact that they're number one in the big leagues in terms of runs per game away from home, it is a team that, again, you could probably use that power bat. For the Philadelphia Phillies, outside of Kyle Schwarber entering in tonight, you only had one other player with north of 9 home runs this year, Trey Turner with 11. Guess what they could utilize? A power bat. So I think that that's the big key that you want to be looking at. Which of these teams that is currently on the cusp of the playoffs is going to be looking at adding a power bat? And whichever team does so, that's probably the team that's going to be able to make the postseason. So it's going to be a really interesting playoff race. We're going to be here for it. And what else we're here for is taking a look at this great game of basketball. Lots of moves happening on Monday. Robin Lundberg, he's based out there in the northeast part of the country, does some great work over at SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio, and his own show, The Robin Lundberg Show, joins me next right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm Beeson, the Sports Betting Network. Always great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Robin Lundberg aboard. He does a tremendous job over at SiriusXM, Mad Dog Radio. Additionally, the Robin Lundberg Show on YouTube TV. He does a tremendous job on so many different fronts. And Robin, great to get you aboard. Thank you.
I would say tremendous. I mean, it was all the tremendous to have me aboard. What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining me, Robin. And Robin, we've seen a lot here in NBA, shall we say, the offseason over the last week or so. And I know you're based out there in the northeast part of the country. You have a bit of affinity for the Brooklyn Nets. So take me through what we did see on Monday with them taking on Michael Porter Jr. They trade away Cam Johnson. Like I said, you typically don't see it very often with two 18-point-per-game scores being swapped for each other. And you pointed this out during the break. The Nets, they were able to pick up some capital along the way.
Yeah, look, the Nets are in this interesting situation where you don't know exactly what direction they're going to go in, but they are in the midst of a rebuild. It's just how quickly they choose to press buttons. This move makes sense for them because Cam Johnson had long been rumored to be on the move. He really, you know, was a pro with the Nets, but is the kind of guy who fits much better on a contending team, you know, a bit of a 3-and-D kind of player who can put the ball on the floor a little bit. But for the Nets, you look at this deal and you see Porter Jr. comes in, who may still have untapped potential with his size and shooting ability. And then you attach a first round pick that could come when Jokic is out of his prime and when the Nuggets are on the downside. So it's not as if Johnson was going to be a part of any contending core for the Nets. They bring in a player who still has upside. They get a draft pick in the process. Not to mention the contract that Porter Jr. has is still rather large and will come off the books at a possible opportune time to use as a trade chip for a bigger piece. So it's one of these moves that keeps that flexibility alive for the Nets while also kicking the tires on a player who still has potential.
Yep, I really like this move for the Nets. I think that they're setting themselves up for years and years down the line, having quite a bit of success. And certainly we're going to see what happens with the Nuggets too, because they're out there in the West where I think it's very clear the OKC Thunder are the favorite once again. But I just take a look at this Nuggets team in general, and I like the fact that they were able to make this a little bit of a shakeup, because I do feel like Michael Porter Jr. had perhaps a little bit of untapped potential that he was never able to realize with the Denver Nuggets. And with this Nuggets team, I think that they could be perhaps the biggest contenders out there to the Thunder, because for no other reason, they've got, in my opinion, the best player on the face of planet Earth in Nikola Jokic.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, you have Jokic, you have that core that has already won over there, and you add a guy who is going to do his job and has, you know, the potential for breakout games. I don't think Cam Johnson is, you know, some untapped potential player, like I was just saying, but he's had nights where he really goes off. He has improved off the dribble. He's played on winning teams before. And Jamal Murray, let's say he stays healthy. Obviously, Aaron Gordon's still there, part of that core. And then Jokic, I think this is a good move for the Nuggets, because we're in an era now of the NBA where it is very hard to keep existing cores together. I think that's going to be one of the things you'll note here with free agency and during this offseason, is this new collective bargaining agreement and how difficult it makes keeping, you know, a lot of players together due to their contracts, some of the facilitating of trades, the big signings that we've seen in the past. So this is a nice move for the Nuggets to get a proven player who, you know, can, I mean, Cam Johnson could fit in anywhere, right? Like any team, you can plug him and play him. And I think he'll really help Denver in that way.
Yep, I agree with you. As Robin Lundberg, he does such great work over at SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio. And the Robin Lundberg Show is joining me on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Certainly big happenings with that trade, but additional big happenings with the LA Lakers, because we saw DeAndre Ayton get a buyout of his contract with the Portland Trail Blazers. We know that with LeBron, the cryptic tweets are starting up once again. He's starting to try to put some pressure on the organization. Feels like it's very clear that he would like them to be able to go for it right now, add a little bit more down low. And just how do you decipher this Lakers situation, where it does feel like LeBron James is sort of back to where he was pre-Lakers, because he never really put pressure on the organization when he joined Los Angeles until now?
Well, look, I mean, you think about it like this, and we all get a little tired of this sometimes, but if you look at the Lakers post Shaq and Kobe, and even into the later Kobe era, and then certainly thereafter, it was kind of, you know, a miserable franchise for a while until LeBron came there. So he really deserves credit for bringing the Lakers back to prestige. And then AD comes over and that they win the title. And, you know, I guess you could say compete for a few years, at least certainly are relevant after that. Since then, that core has dissipated. Obviously, Davis went to the Mavericks. Luka comes over, who they're going to build around going forward. But the problem is that existing Lakers roster, the lack of depth, the lack of size. And I think you kind of set it up for me. If DeAndre Ayton is the big name you're talking about, you may have bigger problems afoot, right? Like, I don't think he's the solution to any what ails any team at this point in his career. And he's being framed almost as a savior of the Lakers. That is an indictment of where they are, where the roster has been built. They lose Dorian Finney-Smith. They did bring in Laravia, who has, you know, who can shoot the ball, good shooting touch, good size. The problem is, even if it doesn't work out, how does the LeBron situation work itself out? Because I tell you, I was playing with the trade machine earlier, and to the same thing I was mentioning with the new CBA and the new cap rules, it is very difficult to move LeBron James. You press the button, it says, this trade fails. I guess because he's got such a big contract on the 1-year deal, and you're not going to get a lot of teams offering you much anyway, considering his age. So it is a good old-fashioned pickle for the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, thumbs up for getting Luka, but I don't know how they construct that requisite roster that LeBron seems to be asking for right now.
Yep, it is going to be such an interesting ordeal for the Lakers, because you mentioned it. It's really hard to trade LeBron. It's hard to please LeBron. So you're sort of in no man's land right now, a rock in a hard place, whatever you want to utilize for your analogy there. So I think that that is going to be a lot of fun to play out. We don't have to figure it out. The Lakers do. So that makes it all the better for us. And the Atlanta Hawks are trying to figure things out as well. They get Nikhil Alexander-Walker from the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I do think that this is an interesting move for them. It was a sign-and-trade for 4 years, $62 million. And I think that you'd agree with me. This East is pretty wide open right now after we saw what happened all throughout the playoffs with all the injuries to Jason Tatum, obviously Damian Lillard with the Bucks, Tyrese Haliburton with the Indiana Pacers. And for the Hawks, I don't know if they're going to be too much of a contender, but at the very least, it feels like things are trending in the right direction for this Hawks team.
Yeah, I like the moves that they made. Alexander Walker had a really nice playoff run. He's a real upgrade for them from a versatility standpoint to that core. They already made the Porzingis trade. Of course, you know, that always hinges on health, but they brought in Luke Kennard as well. So the Hawks feel like a solid playoff team to me now. And when you say wide open, I think the league is wide open. We are now in the area of parity in the NBA, the era of parity. And usually you've stacked dynasties or superstar players. I don't think you win that way anymore by stacking superstar players. And a good example is the Pacers. Unfortunately, we saw what happened to Tyrese Haliburton. That was awful. But I don't think, had you and I been sitting here at this same time, same date a year ago, we would have been pegging the Indiana Pacers for the NBA Finals.
Yeah, no question about it. And with the way that the Pacers have done a great job with that homegrown talent, and you can go down the list. Like, we were just talking about the Nuggets. They were a team that when they won their title, most of that was homegrown talent, the Milwaukee Bucks a few years ago as well. So I think that that's very well said by you. And you had a little bit of slip talking about the WNBA, and I know that you do an amazing job on that front. So I do want to get your thoughts as to what we've all seen in the WNBA this season and how you're just taking a look at the league in general, with obviously the Liberty being so powerful, but also I've been really loving what I've been seeing out of the Minnesota Lynx this year too.
Well, look, the Lynx are hungry after what happened in the finals last year. You could argue they kind of got screwed there in that decisive game against the Liberty. Liberty are in a bit of a struggle right now. They've got some players out. Jonquel Jones, who I would argue maybe is their best player, is out. Leonie Fibich, one of the more underrated players in the league, is out playing internationally. She'll be back soon. And then you have the Commissioner's Cup, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, between the Lynx and the Indiana Fever. That will be an interesting thing to watch, because Caitlin Clark is currently listed as questionable for that one. She has missed the last two games. Looking at that number, if her status doesn't change, that plus 6.5, that money line looks kind of appetizing. You know, Caitlin Clark just finished ninth by her peers in all-star voting. Might be a little hungry. Now, they're not going to rush her back, so we'll see tomorrow morning whether she actually suits up. But if she does, that should make for a great Commissioner's Cup game between the two players who were leading the MVP race, at least until Clark went out with injury, that being Nafisa Collier of the Lynx and, of course, CeCe.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that that is going to be a fun game to be looking at. And for the Fever, up and down when Caitlin Clark has not been in the lineup, mostly down. But it's always up when you're aboard, Robin. You do such a great job looking at this game of basketball. You do great work over on SiriusXM, and really appreciate the time tonight. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Great to be able to get Robin aboard. Great insight as to what the Brooklyn Nets are doing with regards to stacking their assets. Taking a look at what we've all seen here over the last few days in the NBA. And coming next, how about if we go from the hardwood to the diamond? We've got a few games lingering for Monday, and we'll start turning forward to Tuesday here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Rarely do anticipated, rarely seen, is what happened in Texas here tonight as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Epes Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. By the way, big thanks to Robin Lumberg for joining me in last segment. Does great work over at SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio, along with the Robin Lumberg Show on YouTube. And what we just saw out there in Texas was one of the most strange sequence of events that you're going to see all season. As we know, with the Ghost Runner in extra innings, things can get a little bit nutty. The game was 3-3 going into the 10th inning between the Baltimore Orioles and the Texas Rangers. You had a three spot put up by the Orioles in the 10th inning. The Rangers somehow, some way, counter with three runs in the 10th inning. And then the Orioles put up a four spot in the 11th inning. 10-6 a final with only six total runs being scored in the regular nine innings. So, and it completed another explosion here. And for the Texas Rangers, a bullpen that has actually been pretty solid for them this year, they upchucked all over themselves at the world's worst time. As for the Baltimore Orioles, they go 6-17 with men in scoring position to be able to get the job done here. Still 10 games below 500. And for the Rangers, three games back of that final wild card. They really could have used this one, and they did not get it. The San Francisco Giants could really use this one. Currently, they're down by a count of 3-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. As it's just been a struggle for the Giants over the last few games as they get swept by the Miami Marlins. They lose that series to the Chicago White Sox, and the offense just has really not come to life. You had Logan Webb uncharacteristically give up three runs in six and third innings. A little bit of a rough start from him. And for this San Francisco Giants team, they're now looking to get to the bullpen. Shelby Miller trying to come on for a four-out save here as he's really been the lone guy for the Arizona Diamondbacks that's been halfway reliable whatsoever. So we're going to be seeing what's going to be happening on that front. This team continues to ascend, though, and I think that this is going to be one of those very fascinating teams in the National League moving forward. Obviously, they should be making the playoffs unless if something dramatic happens, but the Philadelphia Phillies go out there. They completely shut out the San Diego Padres by a count of 4-0, and it's a National League wild card picture that is obviously stronger than that of the American League, but I think that there's a lot of intrigue with these teams. Like, I don't know if it's just me, but I have not been blown away. I have not had my socks knocked off by the San Diego Padres this year. Just feels like that bottom of the lineup needs something. The entire catcher spot, like they were banking on Jason Hayward towards the beginning part of the season and with the in the outfield. They no longer even have him on the team. They've been mixing and matching sort of out there in the outfield for guys not named Jackson Merrill and Fernando Tatis Jr. filling that other role. They have not been able to find that. So San Diego Padres get blanked. And Zach Wheeler, by the way, if you're looking at a guy that might be able to wreck the apple cart with regards to National League Cy Young, 8 innings, 10 punch-outs, he allowed 6 hits, no runs, another rock-solid performance from Wheeler. And ever since coming off the paternity list, which, congratulations, Zach Wheeler, 5 starts, he's allowed 2 earned runs. So since becoming a dad, he has been doing quite a bit of good out there on the mound. So I have to give a little bit of credit where it is due. And sometimes you just find things that are funky in Major League Baseball that you just don't know how to explain them, but they're happening. These Pittsburgh Pirates offense, which entered in the night, dead last in the National League in terms of runs per game, they scored 30 runs in 3 games in their series against the New York Mets. They put up a 7 spot tonight against the Cardinals, getting the job done by a count of 7-0. Andrew Heaney looked like his best self, 6 2/3 innings scoreless. And for Eric Fetty, well, he got whopped. He gives up 7 runs over the course of 5 innings, including a bomb. The Pirates still have only 3 guys on the roster, by the way, with worth of 4 home runs. But all of a sudden, they've been getting hot at the plate. And this is what I'm talking about in Major League Baseball, in terms of there being some very dramatic home and road splits. The Pittsburgh Pirates are 24-21 at home. Like, they are absolutely brutal on the road this year. And I mean brutal. But at home, they've been able to do a solid job. Like, the New York Mets are one of those teams that has been 29-12 at home. They've got a sub-500 record on the road. Like, maybe it's just me, but it does feel like the home and road splits this year have been a little bit more dramatic in Major League Baseball than we've seen in past years. And that's something that I'm certainly going to be taking a look at, and that's something that we're going to be diving in on with regards to the Tuesday slate here in a second, as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And something else that you want to be taking note of, ProfitX. I mean, you want to talk about a good split in terms of being able to reduce the juice? ProfitX is the first ever peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. It's the first of its kind in the United States. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against the sports books, and the exchange rates give you the best odds by about 10 to 20%. You're able to request your own odds as well. Download ProfitX today. Use that promo code of VSIN, V-S-I-N. That'll earn you $200 in profit cash over your first month. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we do start diving in on the Tuesday card, as I was just referring to the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they've been able to get as hot as lava on the mound, or I should say with regards to the bat. Now on the mound, Mr. Paul Skeen, as he goes up against the St. Louis Cardinals against old Andre 3000 Pallante, mostly seeing a 7 out there with this total, seeing 1 or 2 7.5s out there as well. Skeens and the Pirates between minus 160 to minus 170 favorites. And I haven't backed Paul Skeens a lot because the Pirates have been about a 500 team thus far this season. When he's been out there on the mound, has been a case where he's pitched very well, sub 2.35 ERA, but you've got the guys around him not necessarily supplying a lot of offensive support. But I do think that this is one of these cases where you're able to back him. As a matter of fact, you're seeing that plus 135 run line to lay run half with the Pirates. That's calling my name. I was willing to go to a plus 125 or higher because Andre Pallante, just not a guy that I have a lot of faith in. He's been reducing on the walks a little bit, about 3 walks per 9 innings, but he's also only giving you about 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He has, throughout his career, been always able to do a good job of mitigating hard contact. Hasn't been able to do as great of a job thus far this season, so you do have to have a little bit of caution there. And then on the flip side, you got yourself a Pittsburgh Pirates team that, again, they're not necessarily ripping the cover off the ball. Only 3 guys on the roster with at least 4 home runs, but they have found something a little bit of late. Do I think that it's going to be long-lasting? No, because when you have a 162-game MLB season, teams get hot, teams get cold. I mean, it just happens with every single team in Major League Baseball, and this has just been a little bit of a heater for the Pittsburgh Pirates recently, as you'd have someone like a Spencer Horwitz now hitting above a 250. Andrew McCutchen's been rock solid. He's given you 344 on base. And Brian Reynolds had really been an issue for this team. He's finally starting to give you a little bit more production. He's one of the 3 guys that has been able to hit north of 4 home runs this season, so you need him to continue to supply the boom. O'Neill Cruz hitting about a 212 as well. You need a little bit more there. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, even though this offense is in the upper half of the big leagues in terms of runs per game, I'm not too impressed by them. They've got Wilson Contreras, Nolan Arenado, both giving you between 10 and 11 home runs this season. Alec Burleson has been able to give you a little bit of boom as well, but they've been playing a lot of station-to-station baseball. They don't necessarily have those power bats. Guys like Contreras, along with Arenado, have not necessarily been what they have been in past years. And I will say, Brandon Donovan, give you a 366 on base at the top of the fold. That's solid, and I do actually like this total under, whether you got a 7 or a 7.5, because I do like the way that the Cardinals' bullpen has performed. And a big thing for the Cardinals is that with them getting blown out on Monday, they didn't have to use up those trustworthy relievers, because you're going to have Jojo Romero, along with someone like a Phil Matone. These guys give you a sub-3 ERA available for this game. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates, they only had to use Chase Sugar for 2 1/3 innings. So these guys like a David Benar, Dennis Santana, Caleb Ferguson, that have a sub-3 ERA, that's big for them. And I am a firm believer in this. I know that Scott Seidenberg, who does great work at the network, is a believer in this as well. When you do see sort of a blowout game, which I would consider 7-0 to be a blowout, like we have seen a lot of 10-plus run blowout games where you get a whole bunch of runs, this was actually one that stayed under the total. But when you do get a game like this where it's decided by 5-plus runs, it actually lends itself a little bit better for the under in the next game, because you don't have to use up those high leverage guys. You're going to be getting your best bullpen pieces if the game is relatively close. And I do think that that's always an element that you want to be taking a look at. So that does help you out further for the under. And doesn't help when you've got a guy, or it doesn't hurt when you've got a guy by the name of Paul Skeens on the mound as well. So interesting circumstance here. I'm going to be willing to take a shot on that Pirates run line. So I'm going to take a plus 125 or higher. And I did set my total more around a 6.9, so below the 7, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the under as well. And then this might be something that you're sweating out here tonight as well. You've got the Seattle Mariners and the Kansas City Royals, and for this Royals team, they have been royally awful at the plate, averaging 3.3 runs per game. That is dead last in all of baseball. That average might be going downward. They're currently trailing by a count of 6-2 to the Seattle Mariners in the bottom of the 8th inning, so you actually do get this total over with this closing at a 7.5. But, man, for this Kansas City Royals team, they're just not getting anything generated on offense. And if this team could find even a semblance of offense, Salvador Perez has not been himself. Bobby Witt Jr., for, a mortal player, he's been able to give you 10 home runs, 285 average, 340 on base. For any mere mortal, that's really good, but we expect a little bit more out of Bobby Witt Jr. It's been a rough season for him. And Jack Caglione, I was talking about it with the Red Sox previously in this show. These young guys that they come up, sometimes they're just needing to be able to find their bearings. They have a little bit of a rough go of it. Jack Caglione has certainly been one of those young guys, along Jake Rave. Great name, by the way. And we are going to have a Rave in hour number two of Cashing Out. Going to be taking a look at a lot of baseball, seeing what we've all got in terms of NBA free agency, and so much more right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.